First, Zimbabwe's President Robert Mugabe's efforts to keep the prying foreign media out of his country in recent years have been less than successful. Earlier this week, his security police made a half-hearted attempt to close the stable door by arresting a few reporters. But literally hundreds have crossed into the country by road and air and are regularly filing live radio and television, as well as words and pictures for the print media. They include the ABC's Africa correspondent Andrew Gagan. Foreign Affairs editor Peter Cave, who went into Zimbabwe undercover in 2002 to report on the expulsion of white farmers from their land, says their success has a lot to do with technology.
If you've seen the ABC's travelling exhibition called Through Australian Eyes, which details 70 years of ABC foreign reporting, you would have seen the huge old acetate disc recorder used by correspondents Lawrence Cecil and Chester Wilmot to report from the Middle East during the Second World War. The gear they used required its own truck, and the fragile discs had to make their way back to Australia by land, sea and air, often taking weeks or months before they were broadcast. By the time I first became a foreign correspondent at the end of the 70s, our tools of the trade were Swiss-made Nagra tape recorders and Arriflex and Eclair movie cameras. The tape was cut with scissors and the film was never cut in the field, even if you had access to a portable processing lab. Tapes and films were still air freighted back home, often overnight, and for radio, there was always the option of finding a phone and using alligator clips to attach the tape recorder's output to a phone line if you could find one that was up to the job within a day's drive of the story. The words often went back on a telex machine, a huge clanking behemoth of a thing found in some hotels and commercial offices. Tom Stoppard's play, Night and Day, set in a fictional country in Africa, details one journalist's heartbreaking search for a teleprinter to get that all-important story back home. Often the only way to get a story out of a difficult spot was to use a pigeon, a tourist, diplomat, or even a pilot willing to hand-carry it out. It's unlikely that any of those journalists in Zimbabwe at the moment will be trying to sneak in truckloads of recording equipment across the Zambezi River, or selling their soul for a telex machine. Although the BBC's venerable Foreign Affairs editor John Simpson did get the makeup department to fashion him a large false beard. Simpson, who admits to hiding his large frame under a burqa to get into Afghanistan, says the beard proved to be just too uncomfortable. Today's journalist carries a satellite transmitter the size of a paperback book, which can send words, pictures and sound directly through the ether to the internet. Digital recorders can be no bigger than a packet of chewing gum, and broadcast quality cameras can be no bigger than the palm of your hand. A notebook computer can be an editing suite, a broadcast studio, or a photo lab. Unlike the great journalist Henry Stanley, who had to beat his way through the jungle, enduring unbearable hardships for months on end to deliver the words, "Dr. Livingstone, I presume," today's journalists only have to catch a plane to Victoria Falls, Bulawayo, or even the capital Harare, posing as tourists or businessmen. Some have driven in from South Africa, Zambia, or Botswana, where plenty of cross-border traders are happy to smuggle in their gear for just a few dollars. Some enterprising organisations even sent their reporters in weeks or months ago, leaving them there in tourist resorts or hunting lodges as sleepers, ready to spring into action when necessary. There are plenty of opponents of President Mugabe's brutal regime ready to lend a hand. This is Peter Cave in Johannesburg for Correspondence Report.